Okey-doke. Well, wait till everybody gets it. Now we're getting that feedback on that. Check that master on top and back it off just a tad. You'll see it. I think it's the first button on there on that. Yeah, that gray thing. Now, yeah, okay. Can you hear me all right? Okay. Reminds me, I'll turn mine up. Need a couple of leaks if I can hear myself. Yeah, it did this morning when I cut it on. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know whether she had a bag on the side of the chair. And I don't know whether it changed the volume on the amplifier itself. Well, it's good to see everybody out this morning. Remember those who requested prayer. Lou Jackson has been added to the list. We forgot to put it on there, but it's we'll put it on there. Happy birthday to Harley. I think they're out west, aren't they? Or they think they're out west in Utah seeing the kids. So remember them in your prayers. And seek the Lord's help for them. Begin our worship service this morning with hymn number 449, To God Be the Glory. Reading and prayer, we'll sing hymn number 222. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I'll take my text this morning from verse 7. speaking of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Let us pray. Our Father, we bless you and thank you and praise your holy name for all you have done for us. We thank you for mercy new every day, for sufficient grace for every need, for abounding grace that overcame our sin. We thank you for the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died in the room instead of his people and redeemed them fully by his blood, all according to the purpose of your grace. We thank you for salvation wrought by Christ, applied by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the word. We thank you for the word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, the entrance of which gives understanding to the simple. We thank you, Father, that your word shall stand and not fall to the earth. That when everything else is gone, this world disappears by your fire and power, and what will remain will be the eternal word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Father, we pray this morning for ourselves as we gathered here, that you might be pleased by your spirit to show us Jesus Christ in the scriptures, to cause us in our hearts to rejoice in what he has done, to worship you, to declare that you are worthy in all things and you deserve all glory. I pray in our hearts that we might be able to render that to you as best we can. We know that our best efforts are fraught with sin, weakness, and frailty to the human flesh. We know also, Father, that you have saved us by your grace. Father, we pray for those who are sick, going through trials. We know at this time of the year, struggles can be greater, it seems. We ask, Lord, you'd be with those who are suffering through trials and temptations and sorrows of heart. We ask you to uplift them and strengthen them in Jesus Christ. Pray for our shut-ins. Pray for Brother Wayne and Sister Ethel. You'd be with them. And help us this hour as we hear the gospel and then partake of the Lord's table afterward, to think on the things that are worth thinking about. To think on that one thing that makes the difference in all the world, and that is the blood and death of Jesus Christ dying for his people. Help us now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Hymn number 222.
A fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilt. streets. By faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die, and shall be till
Steve and Stan received off this morning, please. Let us pray. Father, again, we approach in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing full well, as your children and heirs according to promise, that you have put us all in that great testament and will, and given us all things in Jesus Christ. Given him first to us, and with him freely given us all things. We know that what we've received, and let us not boast as if we've not received it. We thank you, but we know that what we deserve is eternal separation from thee in the hell of fire. And we thank you that you have rescued us, that you have forgiven us, and given us life in Jesus Christ, a gift that is beyond comprehension. Father, thank you. Let us return unto thee that which you have freely given to us. It belongs to you. And let us do so with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Invite your attention back to Ephesians chapter 1. And the seventh verse says, in whom, that is in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The title of my message this morning is 2023. On the last day of this year, and I've been thinking on this for a couple of days. I heard this morning that a million people, upwards of a million, are going to gather in Times Square tonight to watch the ball drop. A million people, that's a lot of people, to watch a ball drop. I don't know how they get all packed in there and why in the world they want to do that when they could sit at home and watch it on TV. I can't imagine. But people like to do things like that. Been an interesting year, a year that's touched every one of us in different ways. Sorrow has touched this congregation, the loss of loved ones. There are those who have went through these holidays with sorrow and anguish in their hearts. Last year, I found myself rebelling against God's sovereign providence many times as I gripe and complain about the situation in America and around the world. I get angry when I shouldn't about things that I have no control over with, but sad that I would get angry because I do know who controls all things and runs the show. I wish that God would give me a mind to just sit back and say, I wonder what he's going to do about this. Instead of, dadgummit, why is this going on? It's been an eventful year. One that I've seen brothers and sisters in Christ get angry with each other and separate, which always breaks my heart. Preachers of the gospel nitpicking over one little thing or another thing and separating over those things, it breaks my heart. I've seen that this year. Again, I wonder what's God doing there? What is he doing? I've seen Christianity as a general philosophy being attacked throughout the world. I've seen children speak out against the ancients and the elders. I've seen this general attitude of rudeness, which was not tolerated when I was young. You could do about anything. You could get in all kinds of trouble, shoot each other BB guns with arrows. My brother shot me with an arrow in the leg one time. Set forests on fire. Those things were bad, but they weren't. But if you were rude, you got your mouth mashed. People are rude today. It's a different world we live in. And I'm reminded of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I try to keep this in mind, though I don't often do it. Our Lord said, in the latter days, things will grow worse and worse. The world's not going to get better. It was really good at one time for 6 days. And it's been on a downhill run since then. The Lord also said the love of many shall wax cold. And we see that all the time. As I was pondering these things, I thought, what's 2023 been like for me? And then like a light from heaven, it dawned on me. For the last 365 days, every sin that I've committed, all my iniquity and transgression has been forgiven. Every one of them. Think on that. Dwell on that. And my mind went to this verse of Scripture. For it tied in the fact of forgiveness and also the fact that we're going to observe the Lord's table today to recollect and commemorate what happened 2,000 years ago on a lonely tree outside of Jerusalem on a hill called Golgotha, the place of the skull. And our Lord Jesus Christ, by himself, with no help from nobody, not even God the Father, bore our sins in his body on the tree. And he gave ultimately the only thing that would pay the sin debt of his people, and was his life, the precious fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. He died so you and I, as children of God, might live, and live abundantly, and live forever, never to die. The flesh will die, and when that does, our spirit will rejoice, for we'll no longer be battling with sin. It'll be buried in the grave for good, and we'll be with our God without sin. I can't imagine that, because I can only imagine it with a sinful mind. So I can't imagine what that'll be like. But here in this passage of Scripture, it says, in Jesus Christ we have redemption. We have redemption. That's a term that has to do with finance. Has to do with exchange of currency in order to buy something or to purchase something. It's a term of purchase. It comes from three Latin words, and the Greek words rather. Agorazo is one of them, and that's where we get our word agora, where people have agoraphobia because they're afraid to go out in the marketplace. The agora was the marketplace in Greek language. When I was over in Athens, I went to the agora, went to the marketplace. So it has to do with going to the marketplace, but not just any marketplace. It has to do with going to the slave market to purchase a slave. Then the other word used for redemption is ek agorazo, which means to go to the marketplace and purchase something and take it out of the marketplace. Ek means out of the marketplace. Ek agorazo, take it out of the marketplace. So redemption means to go to the marketplace to buy a slave and remove that slave from the marketplace. And the other word is luatro. And luatro means to take off the marketplace, never to be returned to the marketplace again. And that's our redemption. Jesus Christ came to the marketplace of this world and purchased for himself servants. Servants. He didn't pick out the best. He picked out the worst. Much like Hosea and Gomer. Gomer was a harlot. And when she was used up and had nothing left to give, that's when he purchased her for his wife. And when our Lord Jesus Christ came to this marketplace and he went down the line, and there were able people there, people who could make good, strong servants who could actually add to him and help him if he needed help. Strong and vital, moral and upright, people of rectitude and honor. And he went right by them. He came not to call the righteous, but bring sinners to repentance. And he looked through the crowd and he saw the worst of the lot. The crippled, the lame, the impotent, the blind, the deaf, the dumb. Those who could not do anything for him. Those who could not add to him. Those who could not attend anything to him. And that's who he picked. Sinners. He came to bring sinners to repentance. And how would he do that? He would do that by paying the price necessary for their purchase. and the price necessary for their purchase was death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. This was the price God required for the purchase of your soul, death. Somebody's got to die. Somebody will die. You will die for your own sins, or Christ has died for them, one or the other. And mark it out very clearly, Christ did not die for all men. He died for those whom God has chosen from the foundation of the world unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth whereunto he called them by his gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't die for everybody. He died for his people. He died for his elect. He died for his church. He died for the sheep. He died for his family. Who were his family? Those that he had taken in as his family before the world began, and made himself to be surety for them, so that when they came into this world, sinners all and worthy of damnation, worthy of an eternal hell, they came into this world not having the responsibility of paying the debt, because he had already signed his name to the debt before the world began. And he redeemed them. And what was the price? His blood. He redeemed them by his blood and forgave them. Forgiveness is a wondrous thing. David said in Psalm 30, if he should mark iniquity, nobody would stand. So it must be that this redemption is so effectual and so perfect that those who are saved, God cannot mark iniquity in them. He can find no fault in them. He says of them, thou art lovely, there is no spot in thee, no wrinkle or any such thing. Because if he could mark iniquity, no one would stand. Some people believe that when Christ died on Calvary that he paid for sins that are past, your past sins. But you're going to have to take care of the rest. If that's the case, God can mark that iniquity and you will not stand. You will not stand. And David understood that. You think of the sweet psalmist of Israel, years lived centuries before the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world, believed on Christ, trusted Christ, for he said, if God should mark iniquity, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. Forgiveness. Forgiveness with thee. Paul said, or rather Peter said, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. Paul, preaching in Acts chapter 13, said, be it known unto you therefore, brethren, he was talking about the brethren in Israel, that though this man is preached unto you, or through this man is preached unto you, the forgiveness of sin, that you could not be forgiven by the law of Moses. Unto you is preached the forgiveness of sin. In Acts chapter 26, it said to Paul, he says, you've sent out there to preach the gospel, to open men's eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. What was 2023? It was a year of blessedness. It was, if you're a child of God. For the Lord said, David said, praise the Lord in Psalm 103, because he forgiveth all thine iniquity. in Psalm 32 and quoted in Romans chapter 4 by Paul to the Roman church, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven." You know what blessedness is? It ain't health, but I'm glad I have it, what's left of it. It ain't a Lexus. It ain't wealth. All that stuff gonna pass away. Ain't nothing. What is blessedness? To be in a world of darkness. To have light shed on your mind and heart. And know as bad as things get that you are forgiven of your sin. There's nothing that compares to that. And if you don't know that, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you know that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Blessed is the man whose sins or transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's the Old Testament language. The word atonement means to cover. And that was the language used throughout the Old Covenant, always, even to the giving of the most holy day, when the Day of Atonement, the day of covering, because sins weren't put away under the Old Covenant. They were only covered for 1 year on the Day of Atonement. Then they would have to be covered again. But in the New Testament, the word is propitiation, which means satisfying God, and expiation, which means putting away our sin, removing our sin from us. And we know and we feel and we sense our own wickedness. We know the darkness to some degree of our own heart and our own mind, the ease with which we doubt, the ease with which we look away from God and look at things around us, the ease with which we are governed by circumstance. We know all of that. We know that about us. We know that about us. And yet the Lord says that Christ has put away our sins, and he uses languages, a metaphorical language that explains that to some degree. As far as the east is from the west, how far is that? I don't know. Behind God's back, all things are before God. What's behind God's back? Nothing's behind God's back. That means our sins have been annihilated. Annihilated. Buried at the bottom of the sea. This is the language he uses. He put away our sins by the sacrifice of himself. And therefore he has forgiven us of our sins. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Will not charge with sin. You know what blessedness is? For a sinner like me to know that God, the true judge of all the earth that always does what's right, in his holy bar and courtroom, he says, I will never charge that man, that woman, with sin. Never. I'm telling you, don't get no better than that. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. And it's all according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Even the forgiveness of sin. I would not have to ask for a show of hands for anybody here of whether or not you're a sinner. Now, whether you understand that spiritually or not, I don't know. But to understand it spiritually is to mourn over your sin. It's to grieve over what you are. You understand it spiritually. I know they've made it an easy thing. I heard Franklin Graham on TV the other day say, if you just say you're sorry to God, well, how about actually knowing what you are that would make you sorry for God? It would make you sorry before God, make you apologize, make you ask for forgiveness. People can say, I've said I'm sorry to people when I really wasn't sorry. Haven't you? I really wasn't sorry, but I knew it'd get me out of trouble if I said I was sorry. And that's the kind of thing that this modern religion is. It just sort of gets you out of trouble. Don't do anything for you. It adds something to a life that already exists, when actually Scripture says you're dead in trespasses and sin. Let Jesus in your life. You don't have a life. Before God, as you are in nature, you are dead. D-E-A-D, twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Old Donnie Bell used to say, graveyard dead. That's how dead you are before God, naturally. Dead in trespasses and sin. What can a dead man do? Nothing. What does a dead man know? Nothing. What can you ask of a dead man? Anything you want to, but he can't do it. If you don't understand that, the metaphor used for the spiritual condition, go up to Yellow Hill Graveyard up there and stand beside one of those two stones and talk to that person that's buried 6 feet under in a casket. Ask him how he's doing. He can't answer you. Tell him to get up. You need some help piling some wood. He can't help you. He can't get up. He said, well, that's crazy. We wouldn't do that. Well, that's what we do when we preach the gospel. We're preaching to men who can't do anything. And we wait on God to make them alive. God must come by them when they're dead and in their bloods and say, I say unto thee, live, and then they will live. And that's done solely and completely by his grace. Not impute sin. Isn't that something? Isn't it something to ponder? This is what we had in 2023. We had forgiveness of sin. We had our sins were covered. Our transgressions were forgiven. And God would not in any way, shape, or form ever charge us with any sin, though we sin 10,000 times a day. Never charge us. Forgiveness. Oh, how sweet a sound that is. How sweet a sound that is. As we take the Lord's table this morning, I want us to remember that. I want us to think about the year that has just passed. I know there have been sorrows that will carry us to the grave. I know that. But I want you to think about that as we're taking the Lord's table this morning. In 2023, from January 1st till today, December the 30th, table is a commemoration, a remembrance of what the Lord did for us on Calvary 2,000 years ago. It is a celebration of a thing that the world refuses to celebrate and tries not to think about. That's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the fact that in Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, in Jesus Christ, had been put in him before the foundation of the world. Those who were put in him were redeemed by his death. They died when he died. In fact, the three ordinances given to the church all have to do with that death. You go through the baptism of waters over there in that cold river. Those who've experienced no alcohol to be. Why? We're commemorating or confessing the believer's first public confession of faith that when Jesus Christ died, he died with him. He was buried in the water. But since his burial, we were buried with him. And when he rose, we rose with him. And when he ascended, we ascended with him to sit in heavenly places with Christ. In him. We died. Scripture says we're dead. Colossians chapter 3, we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. Our life is hid. Have you ever wondered, as you thought about yourself and what you do and what the Lord be a child of God. You know why you wonder that? Because your life is evil. You don't know what you are. I read a thing this morning, and Deb read something to this morning, that 15% of the population of the world has no understanding or self-awareness. Only the believer really has self-awareness. Our life is healed. Why? Because of death. We're dead. We're dead and our life is healed. We're celebrating the death that accomplished Christ's death on Calvary. He took the elements of the Passover feast, the bread, the unleavened bread of the Passover feast, and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, take these, this is my body broken for you. As often as you do this, eat this bread, you do it in remembrance of me. And then he took the wine and the cup, and after he blessed it, he gave it to his disciples and said, this wine, this cup is the new covenant. The new covenant, the new testament in my blood, in my death. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth my death until I come again. That's the second ordinance. The third ordinance is what I just read this morning, because it's gospel. Because it's about the death of Jesus Christ. So let's take this table this morning in remembrance. As we take the bread, his body representing his body broken for us, and the wine representing his blood shed for us, that's in our minds and in our hearts, commemorate the death that saved our souls. Let's ask the Lord to bless us. Lord, we pray you bless this time together in fellowship sweet as we consider the blood of Jesus Christ that redeemed us and gave us the knowledge that as vile and unclean as we are, like that dying thief, we are forgiven. Even to save it overwhelms us. To know it by faith is a true delight in a world of sorrow. Bless these elements for your glory. We might remember the death of Christ. It's in his name we pray. took bread and broke it. The disciples said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. As often as you do it, do it. On the same night, he took the cup. He said, this cup is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will show forth my death until I come again. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Do this in your religion. And that spirit and sang a hymn. Let's stand together.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Some people have had colds and they don't feel like they ought to hug nobody, that'd be all right. If you want to give a fist bump, that'd be okay too. If you want to hug each other, that'd be fine. Then we'll go.